bless the sermon tonight, Lord, and please let it be edifying to the brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, the part of the chapter we're going to focus on this evening is found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 1 through 3, where the Bible says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money." And the title of the message tonight is "When You Can No Longer Shake Yourself." When you can no longer shake yourself. You see here in this passage of Scripture, we see that, and not just this one, but many passages of Scripture, Old and New Testament, where God is basically pleading with His people. You know, it's just like they fail, they do wrong, they get away from God. And what happens? God comes and says, shake yourself. Shake the dust from off your feet. Get right with God. Get back on your feet. The Bible says that a just man falleth 7 times. And what does he do? He riseth up again, the Bible says. And we see over and over again that God pleads with his people to be determined, to get right with God, and not to allow failures to hold them back. God here is pleading with the cause of his own people. Why? Well, bottom line is Israel just got himself in a lot of mess. You know, they're constantly serving devils and going into idolatry and getting away from God. And God in his love said, man, just get away from that. Shake the dust off and serve me. Their bad decisions left them in the dust. It left them spiritually in a low condition. You know, oftentimes, especially in our personal lives, you know, we can find ourselves in that same exact position. We fail God or we do things that are not pleasing to God and we're trying to go forward. And what happens? We take 2 steps backwards, right? Maybe we don't read our Bible, okay, as often as we should, or we miss a prayer day, or we're not soul winning the way we're supposed to, or some spiritual discipline is lacking in our faith. What happens? God is like, hey, just dust off your feet. Get right with the Lord. Go forward. But far too many times, Christians just stay stagnant in that area, don't they? You know, they allow Satan and the lives and their personal imaginations to get in the way, to beat them down so they can stay down. But God doesn't want that. He wants us to get up and just shake it off and go forward for him. Through these failures and stumbling, God in his mercy encourages his people to shake the dust from off themselves. Look at Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. You know, I like that phrase that he uses, just like shake it off. You know, anyone ever fallen like on their face or something? You know, and you get up and you're just like, man, you know. And that's what it is. It's just like you're just going to get back up and shake it off and just go forward. Especially if you fall like in the middle of the street. How embarrassing is that? You know, he's like, just act natural, you know. I remember one time there's a guy and he was on a skateboard, actually. He was on the street and he was skating. And I don't know, he must have hit a pebble or something. He went flying and he face plant. I mean, everyone saw, all the lights were red. The cars are packed. They saw him fall. You know, but as soon as he fell, he got up and he looked at that pebble like it was the pebble's fault. He's like, where did that thing come from, you know? And then it made everyone else think, yeah, where did that pebble come from, you know? But you know what? Us as Christians, we need to do the same thing. Just get up, you know? Don't stay down. Just get up. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." I like what it says in verse 17. "Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken." I like what it says in verse 17. Learn to do well. You know, it doesn't come natural for us, right? What comes natural sometimes is to do wrong, to be lazy, to not do what we're supposed to do. But God says you need to learn, okay? We need to learn the judgments of God, learn how to do right, learn to be disciplined, learn how to obey God. It reminds me in Romans chapter 7, go to Psalms 103. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter number 7 in verse 18 where Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." And sometimes it's just hard to do that which you're supposed to do. And sometimes we can't find the will we have the will, but we don't know how to perform that good thing that God wants us to do. And what does God say? You need to learn. You need to learn how to do right. You need to learn how to overcome sin in your life. You need to learn how to overcome bad habits that displease God. You need to learn. Psalms 103, verse 8. And I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I am. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. It doesn't say he's not angry. He's just slow to anger. And plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And look, let me say this. If we want to obtain the mercy of God, we got to have a proper fear. We need to fear God. It's not like, well, we could just live the way we want and get involved in all kinds of sin and be involved in drunkenness, be involved in drugs, be involved in pornography, be involved in iniquity, and nothing's going to happen. No. There needs to be a proper fear for us to obtain the mercy of God. Amen. God in his grace allows us to shake ourselves off when we fail, though. Because look, the honest truth is we all fail. We all do wrong. We all miss the mark. Let me give you some instances where we can shake ourselves, okay? Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'm thankful that God admonishes his people, hey, shake it off. You know, too many times Christians, they fail, and then they allow that one failure to follow them for like 5-10 years. To follow them for 6 months, for a year, and they just stay down, and they don't get back up. They don't get to do what, and they don't get to reap the blessings of just being obedient to God. You know, God said, look, you eat the best of the land if you just be obedient. You know, instead of having a pity party and getting under the juniper tree like Elijah did, just go do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
No pity party. Too many Christians nowadays, they just want a pity party. They want people to feel sorry for them. Well, it's so-and-so's fault. No, it's no one's fault. It's your fault. Okay? Just get right with God, confess it, get up, and go do what you're supposed to do. That's what God wants from us. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5. The Bible says here, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And look what it says. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, what does it say? Shake off the dust of your feet. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be times when we preach the gospel and they just don't want to listen. There's going to be times when you knock doors and people are just not receptive. Don't let that get you down. Don't let that discourage you. Shake the dust off your feet. Go to the next city. Go to the next door. You know, we often just stop doing what we're supposed to be doing just based on one bad experience. You know, it's just like, it didn't go well for me. I tried sowing. It just didn't work out. And no, just dust off your feet. There's someone out there who really wants to listen to you. Okay. And by the way, take the bad experiences and use them as examples. We love to hear stories like that. Okay. Tell us how they cussed you out. Tell us how they threatened you. Tell us how they chased you. Tell us whatever they said to you. It encourages us. Why? Because misery loves company. Amen. And we're all going to suffer that type of persecution every once in a while. But don't let that discourage you from continuing to do what you're supposed to do. Dust off your feet. When you fail, you can just shake it off. Okay. And thank God for that. And let me say this. Not everyone's going to reject you. Amen?
Amen?
Often we give up far too soon and it's just like, I'm discouraged. I can't do it. Look, we all have our bad weeks, bad months. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it's just like, I didn't see anybody saved today. That's all right. Hey, tomorrow's another day. The next door is another door. Amen?
Amen?
Let it be like water off a duck's back. There are times in ministry when you're going to face dead ends. You're going to feel like you're a failure, but just shake it off. Going out sowing, and sometimes you just don't see anybody saved. But you know what? You're still successful. Why? Because you sowed seeds.
Amen?
Amen? And that's what it's about. We're out there to sow the seeds, to see people saved. Just shake it off. Go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Shake off the dust of your feet. Of course, not literally, you know. I mean, you could do that if you want to, you know. Just like, all right, you don't want to listen. That's fine. He's like, what's that supposed to mean? Read the Bible. You'll see what I mean, you know. I don't do that. But spiritually, it's just like, all right, I'm not going to let that bother me, you know. By the way, you know, you'll meet some mean people out there. You'll meet some rude people.
Amen.
No, you know, nothing. Before you even knock on the door, you know they have those gated doors where they can see you, but you can't see them. Like, you're about to knock, and they're like, no, thank you. It's just like, I got $100 for you. It's like, okay, you know. But it's like, no, well, can I just leave it? No, you know. And it's just like, man, jerk. Fine, I'll go somewhere else, you know. But don't let that bog you down. You know, don't let that give you a bad spirit and a bad attitude for the remainder of the day. It's going to happen. In fact, laugh it off. Like, man, that guy's funny. I came to bring this guy salvation. He really didn't want it. And by the way, the Bible says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Yep. That's what I come for myself with. It's like, man, that guy just condemned himself. And on the day of judgment, that thing's going to rewind and play from, no, you remember that? No. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul, I'm sure there was a lot of failures in Paul's life. What do you do? He goes, I'm just going to forget it. You know, forget the failures of yesterday and just go forward for God. Go to Joshua chapter 7. Shake it off. Shake it off. Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. Verse number 8. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 8. The Bible says, O Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us about, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, what does it say? Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Of course, we know the story. They're trying to overcome Ai. There was sin in the camp. And what happened? They were defeated. I mean, it was a big, big failure for Israel. And, you know, Joshua's coming to God, and he's just like, God, what are you going to do? This is for lightning. And what did God say? Get up. You need to get up. You know, instead of having a pity party, acting like it's your fault or whatever, just get up. Yep. You need to just get up. Look at verse 13. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. You know what God's saying? Just get up and fix the problem. Amen. Look, instead of just dwelling on the failure, and man, I'm a failure, I can't do anything for God, why don't you just pinpoint where the problem is, fix it, up, sanctify thyself, and go forward for God. God is not trying to rub sin in our face and just say, man, no. He says, up, fix it. Just fix it. Get up and fix it. Go to Acts chapter 14. You know, I remember when I used to kickbox, and they put me up against this one guy. He was like a professional, and he like almost shattered my shins. I mean, this guy, he was like a 300-pounder. We're supposed to be sparring, and he just kicked my shins to it could no longer, and I remember falling to the ground. And after that, like, my shins were like so swollen, and there's blood clots everywhere. It was bad. But I remember every time I'd fall down, he'd say, get up, get up. And I was like, look at the time, like, man, I still got more. We still got a lot longer to go. And I'd get up, and what would happen? He would kick me in the shins, and I'd block, and I'd fall down on the ground, and he'd look over at me, and he'd say, get up. We're not done yet. And then what would happen? I'd get up, fight some more, kick me in the shins, I'd fall back down to the ground. What would he say? Get up. You know, sometimes there's a lot of fights in this world, spiritually speaking, and it's just like sometimes we're just falling and falling and failing and failing. What happens? It's just like, get up. Just get up. You know? What good is it to just stay down? You know? It's better to just get up, take the blows, take the hits, and grow stronger. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 19 says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas and Derbe. I mean, that was like a failure. I mean, the guy, they hated him so bad that they stoned him. And what did he do? He just got up and went to the next city to preach. You know, and that's what we got to do. I'm thankful that when we fail, we can just shake it off and go forward for God. Go to Psalms 126. And I'm talking, of course, in context right now of just preaching the gospel, you know, knocking doors, because we're all going to have times when we fail, you know, or when we think we fail, right? When we was like, man, I didn't see as many souls saved this time as I did last time, or whatever it may be. We go through like a dry spill. And I've gone through those times when it's just like people are saying they've seen people save, and I didn't see anybody save. You know, what do? Shake it off. Shake it off and keep going. Look what Psalms 126 verse 5 says. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. God says, you will doubtless come back. Okay. And by the way, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but you will doubtless come back. God promises it, that it will happen. Don't get discouraged when you're not preaching the gospel. Don't get discouraged when you're preaching the gospel to your unsaved family. Okay, you're like, man, I don't know, but I have family members that are unsaved. I try to witness to them. I try to do this. Just have faith. You will doubtless come back, as the Bible says, again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. God promises it. God's just looking for a determined Christian to just keep at it, keep at it. You'll do just fine. Go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. I like this story here in Acts chapter 28. In verse number 1, this is all introductory. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and when they escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. What did he do? By the way, you know, he's there. A viper jumps out of the fire and bites him, and he just shakes it off into the fire. Now, I guarantee you that probably still hurt. Okay, I've never ever been bit by a snake or anything like that. I don't want to be bit by a snake. I'm sure it's very painful. Okay, but you know what he did? He just shook it off. And let me say this: what is a serpent a picture of? The devil, right? Isn't there times in our life when the devil just comes and just tries to latch on you? And just bite you and cause you pain and discouragement and all these things, and just lies to you and does all kinds of stuff to just discourage you, make you try to get you to become depressed and all these things. You know what you got to do? Just shake that thing off. Yeah. Throw it into the fire, amen? Go to Philippians chapter 1. Hey, when you're attacked, just shake it off. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily yourself, though the Bible says, you know, that our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's very true. But you know what? Sometimes, like, Satan just uses people, you know, whether it's your family members, it's friends, it's people who are just not walking in the spirit or whatever, and they just discourage you. You know what I mean? And what do you got to do? You just got to shake it off. Shake that viper off into the fire. Amen. You don't have to call them vipers, but, you know, if the shoe fits. Amen. But sometimes you just got to shake it off. And often people just say the stupidest things. You know, you're going through a hard time and here comes Mr. Pharisee, and they just like discourage you with the words. And it's just like, thanks, I really needed that. Right. What do? You just shake it off. You shake it off. Philippians chapter 1. Let me say this. Suffering is just a part of the Christian life, isn't it? You know? That includes criticisms, that includes persecutions, that includes all types of afflictions, something that would cause us discomfort. That's part of the Christian life. It's just suffering. Philippians 1:28, the Bible says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, verse 28, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, the Bible says. You know, when you start suffering for the cause of Christ, or you're suffering reproach or whatever it may be, don't think like something strange happened to you, as the Bible says. It's just part of it. Okay? You need to get rooted in Christ, get rooted in the Word of God, get rooted in prayer. Don't be one that just dureth for a while, and when persecution cometh, arises because of the Word, you fall away. Don't let that be said of you. You need to be a rooted Christian and say this: look, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Look, measure yourself. Do I love the Word of God as I ought to? If I get offended easily and I just fall away by the wayside, it just goes to show we didn't love the Word of God as much as we should. Amen. Nope. All right? When the snake bites, shake it off. When that old serpent comes and gives you a rough week. Look, we all have rough weeks, rough days, rough months. Amen? Amen. We just got to shake it off and keep going forward for the Lord. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. In verse 17, I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And let me say this. When you're suffering persecution, just know this. You're doing something right. Why? Because yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering persecution, it just goes to show you're not living a godly life. So don't let that discourage you. May that be a way you can measure your Christian life and say, man, I guess I am doing something right. People are hating on me. Amen. People are trying to discourage me. They're trying to get me to quit, and they're criticizing me. They're slandering me. You're doing something right. It's part of the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Let me say this. If you're suffering because you're being a knucklehead and you're like involved in sin and you're doing something wrong, no, that's not good. Okay? We're talking about living a godly life. If you're living a godly life and you're being persecuted for that, that's a good thing. If you're being persecuted for wrongdoing, that's a bad thing. You guys get that? 1 Peter chapter number 4. Go to chapter 4 and verse 19. The Bible says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Look, when you're going through those hard times, that's when you got to commend yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, just help me with this. Help me to just endure. Help me to be patient. Help me to realize and to memorize and to apply that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Man, that serpent, that snake will bite, you know. And if you're not careful, man, that will take you out of church. That'll keep you from reading your Bible. That'll keep you from praying. That'll keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You know, it's a blessing. And by the way, the worst thing you could do when you're going through a hard time is get out of church. You say, why is that? Because you need God's people to encourage you. Amen. You know, you need the comfort of God's people that when you come, you're edified, you're excited, you get around people who have gone through the same things you've gone through. And guess what? That encourages you to keep going forward. We're not supposed to be these lone Christians that go to YouTube Baptist Temple and just watch the preaching from there and we get no fellowship whatsoever. That's not biblical. You need to be in the house of God with God's people getting edified and helping you to go forward for him. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. This is still all introduction. 1 John chapter number 2. And verse 14, the Bible reads here, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one, the Bible says. Look, that goes to show that how do we overcome the wicked one? When the word of God abides in us. When we're memorizing the word of God, when we're reading the word of God, that's how we can overcome the wicked one. God gives us the ability to just shake it off. Okay? Don't let that thing stick. Don't let that thing latch. Just shake it off. Go to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter number 16. You say, wow, brother, this is a very positive message. I feel edified, you know.
Amen.
We're getting to the, that was introduction, just remember. So don't judge too quickly. Judges chapter 16. So look, we know that when we're going through a hard time, when we fail in our Christian lives, we just got to shake it off, you know. When we're out soul winning, you know, if you miss yesterday's Bible reading, if you miss today's Bible reading, shake it off and just go back home and read it, okay. Don't be lazy. Ask God for help, for diligence, and just crack open that book and read it. You know, if you failed in your prayer life today, hey, the day's not over. Okay, you can still spend time with the Lord through prayer. Pray without ceasing. Ask the Lord to help you. If you failed through soul winning, that's all right. Hey, I mean, there's still this week. There's still going to be more opportunities. Whatever area you can think of, if you failed at it, it's all right. Just shake it off. There's going to be times when Satan comes and he's going to try to discourage you. Shake off the viper into the fire. Just shake it off. Judges chapter 16 and verse number 9. Of course, we know that Samson is one of the strongest men in the Bible, right? Very strong. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. Verse number 9, the Bible says, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee. Who's talking here? Delilah, right? And Samson is involved in a very bad relationship, okay? And he's with an unsaved girl. This is not a woman that his parents approved of. And by the way, let me say this. No Christian ought to marry an unsaved person.
Amen.
Okay, that's called being unequally yoked. You say, well, I did that. It was in the past. I didn't know. Well, guess what? You did it in ignorance, and that's fine. But I'm not talking to the people who are already married. I'm talking to the people who haven't gotten married yet. Amen? You shouldn't marry an unsaved person. That's to be unequally yoked. God has requirements and says you ought to marry a believer. And look, strike number one, Samson's doing wrong here. He's getting with the girl who's unsaved. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when he toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. So what does he do? You know, he lies to Delilah, and she wraps him up, and what happens? The Philistines come, and he just breaks out of it. He just shakes it off. You know, he just gets out of there, and he puts a whooping on the Philistines, and man, it was a good chapter. It was a good couple verses to read, right? Go to Judges, you're in 16, verse 12. Delilah, therefore, took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. I mean, it was like nothing. He was just like, bat, you know? And one thing that just shocks me about Samson is how stupid he is. You know, if you're dating a girl and, you know, she's trying to get you killed here, it's probably not the best girl to be with, you know what I mean? That's you probably want to get away from that woman, okay? But yet, what does he do? He goes back, and then he's giving her, he's saying, yeah, if you do this, you know, I'll be as other men, you know? And he's telling her these things, it's just like, Samson, this woman's trying to kill you. She's trying to kill you, man. Get away from her. Look at verse 14. And she fastened him with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. What did he do? He shook it off again. Yep. Fool me once, shame on me, or shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me thrice, you're just an idiot. I mean, you just keep going back, you keep going back, you keep going back. Verse number 20. The Bible says, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before. What does he say? He goes, I'm just going to do the same thing that I've always been doing. And shake myself. Right? What is he saying? I'm going to break it. I'm going to get away from it like I did all the other times. Just like when they tried it with the thread. Just like they tried it with the new robes. Whatever it was. I'm going to shake myself off as other times. But look what the Bible says. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Ain't that the scariest thing to read? He's like, I'm just going to shake it off like all the other times. No, Samson, guess what? There comes a time when you can no longer shake yourself. There comes a time when God's mercy and God's grace says, okay, that's enough. It's time for you to suffer the consequences of your actions. Okay, before it's just like, okay, I'll be merciful the first time. I'll be merciful the second time. I'll be merciful the third time. But now you're just being stupid. Now you're just being rebellious. Now you're just being stubborn. And guess what? You can't shake yourself this time. So whatever happened to shaking yourself? No, there just comes a time when God says, all right, you want to be stubborn? You're going to go ahead and suffer the consequences of your actions. And far too many Christians think they could just play God, and they think they can just continue in sin, and, well, no one's watching, the pastor's not here, no one knows what I'm watching, no one knows what I'm listening to, no one knows what I'm doing. Well, God knows. And there comes a time when you can no longer shake yourself. And we need to get to a point to realize, I need to fear God and depart from this sin, because there will come a time when God says, fine, you want that? Then you get it, along with the consequences thereof. You're not going to be able to shake yourself off this time. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. You see, you can shake yourself when you miss the mark, when Satan attacks, but when you persist to be a stubborn Christian, just stubborn. You don't want to change. You don't want to repent. You don't want to get right with God. God says, fine. That's fine. I'll just let you suffer the consequences of your actions. I'd rather just be like, you know what? Delilah tried to kill me that first time. I'm just going to go ahead and fix it this time. Because obviously he was involved in a very bad relationship. He knew that. His parents didn't approve of it. He knew that God didn't approve of it. But what did he do? He continued in that relationship. And you know what, to be honest with you, after the second time, he probably could have just been like, you know what, forget it, I'm done with this relationship. And God probably would have been more merciful to him and helped him. And he still would have been used mightily of God. But now what? He's a byword and a proverb to people, to Christians, to say, look, don't do what Samson did. And many Christians, because they're stubborn, they've got a stiff neck. Guess what? They're going to become a byword in a proverb one day. You're going to become someone's sermon illustration. Amen? Why? Because you think you could just continue to do that action, whatever it is that you're doing, be stubborn, and what happens? God is going to punish you for it. So God is a loving God, yeah, and in His love, what does the Bible say? That He chastises those whom He loves. Amen. And it hurts when God spanks, amen?
Amen?
Proverbs 29, verse 1, the Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Often means like this happened more than once. You know, God corrected more than once. God tried to help more than once. And what happens? They're suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, you can't fix it. A lot of Christians just are living, suffering the consequences of their actions. And I guarantee if you talk to them, they would try to tell Christians to avoid that path. Let's just get it right the first time. Let's learn how to repent. Let's learn how to get right with God. Let's learn how to confess our sins. Let's learn how to have a clean heart. Let's learn not to be hypocrites. Amen?
Amen.
To live the same way here as we go when we go back home, at work, wherever we're at, do right. Because why? Because there comes a time when you can just no longer shake yourself. He's like, well, they didn't find out about it this time. Well, next time may be your last chance. This may have been your last chance. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know, God punishes stubborn Christians. What is a stubborn Christian? Is when you tell them to do something and they know what's right and they just don't want to do it. You know, they don't want to get right with God. They don't want to fix the problem in their life. They just want to continue in that sin. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. The Bible reads here, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." God says stubbornness is like iniquity. It's like the same thing. Because you know you're supposed to be what you're supposed to do and you don't do it. You know you're supposed to be reading your Bible and you don't do it. You know you're supposed to be soul winning and you don't do it. You know you're supposed to be in church and you don't do it. You know you're supposed to get that sin out of your life and you just don't do it. You're being stubborn is what it's saying. When you think of the word stubborn, that first part is stub, like a tree stub. They just don't want to move. You're just like, move. It's like, no, I'm good where I'm at. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. Well, okay, then you're going to suffer the consequences of your actions. Look at Judges. Go back to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter number 2. And look, this is more like a preemptive message where it's just like, maybe you're sitting here, you're right with God, everything is going great, and you're living for the Lord, you're doing that which you're supposed to be doing. Good. Stay that way. Because there's going to come a time when you do fail, or there's going to come a time when maybe your heart's not as right as before, and guess what? The temptation is going to be like, well, I can just keep at it like this. I can just stay in this sin. No one's going to find out. I live very far, or no one's around me. My parents don't check up on me, or no one really cares. No one really knows. Well, guess what? God knows, and the Bible tells us that there's going to come a time when you just can't shake yourself off that sin. And you will suffer the consequences of it. Judges chapter number 2 and verse number 19 says, "And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them, they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." Look, these are people who are serving the gods of their fathers. And sometimes Christians, they just blame their own sin. Oh, well, this is the kind of home I grew up in, you know. This is the sins that we're involved. This is just, no, that's not your parents' fault. That's your fault. Because everyone is responsible for their own actions.
Amen.
Okay? And yeah, you may have come from a different home, a difficult background, whatever it may be, but guess what? You are a Christian now.
Amen.
You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a church. You have that which is necessary to live a holy and godly life. And it's not your parents' fault if you're involved in sin or your heart is cold. No, 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 no. That's your decision. Your choice. Go to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter number 78. There comes a time when you just can't shake yourself. Better to get it right now. Okay? And you're saying, man, Brother Bruce, but I'm not like suffering the consequences of my actions. You know, you may be like on the number 2. You know? where Delilah's trying to kill you and you're not there yet on the number three, you might want to just get it right now. Yeah. Don't be like Samson. Don't say, I wonder how many times I can do this before like I get caught. Or how many times I can do this before, you know, God punishes me. Why don't you just get it right now? Okay? Before you're suddenly destroyed and that without remedy. Look at Psalm 78, verse 6 says that the generation to come, I know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. What is it defining as being stubborn? Someone who did not set their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, someone who's just not willing to get their heart right. And by the way, when someone's not willing, they resist the truth. That's a sign of pride. Okay? Pride is not, well, I know what I believe and what I believe is right. No, that's not pride. Pride is when you're not willing to admit that you're wrong. Okay? Pride is when you're not willing to admit that you're wrong, or you know that you're wrong, but you're not willing to correct that which is wrong. Okay? And if we're gonna live a life that's pleasing to God, we need to be humble people. And humility says, I'm wrong, I'm doing wrong, God help me, I confess it, help me to forsake it and to get right with God. Yes. Samson became a stubborn man. He knew full well that he was in a bad relationship, you know. And look, young guys, you got to be careful what relationship you get involved in. You know, you're like, well, I'm trying to win her to the Lord. Well, I hope you're not doing anything before that. Amen? I hope you're not riding in a car alone with them. Amen? And by the way, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin, but you know what? The fact of the matter is, if you're riding alone in a car with a girl, more than likely something's going to happen. Well, I read my Bible today, though. I memorized the scripture. Well, did you read the part where it says, make not provision for the flesh?
Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah.
Okay? You got to be careful with these things. And the fact of the matter is, pride is also when we think that we're above it. Well, we don't think we'll fall. We're thinking, oh, I'm godly, and I've won so many souls to the Lord, and man, I'm a hellfire and damnation preacher, Baptist, and I don't have to worry. No. Humility is like, you know what? I don't want to put myself in a situation where I can do wrong. Okay? Go back to Judges. Are you guys in Judges? Where are you guys at? Go to Judges chapter 16. You know, God will allow us to shake ourselves when we mess up, in a sense of like when we know or we don't know we're doing wrong. It's just like we did something in ignorance, or it's like, you know, we're trying to do right and it's hard for us and we're learning to do well. Okay, God will show mercy, and I'm thankful for that. But there comes a time when we're just being stubborn. We don't want to change. You know, we know what God says about a certain subject and we just persist. We just want to continue in that. And it comes a point where God says, okay, in order for me to help you, I'm just going to allow you to fall flat on your face and suffer the consequences of the path you're going on, so you can correct that issue. And let me say this, pain is what God uses to get us right sometimes, you know? It's got to hurt sometimes. And when the pain is there and he inflicts pain upon our lives, it helps us to realize the severity of the situation, okay? Judges chapter 16, so let me give you a couple things here. What happens when you can no longer shake yourself? What happens when you can no longer shake yourself? Look at verse 21. The Bible says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. I mean, man, talk about pain, right? You know the first thing that goes when you can no longer shake yourself, when you're in that situation, you lose your vision, okay? When you persist to be a stubborn Christian and you don't want to get right with God, you actually like lose like your spiritual vision. Why is that? Because the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So vision, according to the word of God, it's not a vision like I just had a dream, you know, and God spoke to me in the dream. No, we don't believe in that junk. A vision is when we get vision from the word of God. And what happens is when we're stubborn, we can no longer learn the information that God wants us to learn. We no longer have a biblical vision. We start losing our desire and our delight for the word of God. Man, I mean, Samson was supposed to be used in a great and mighty way. I mean, this guy was the strongest man that ever lived. He was going to be a judge of Israel. He was a judge, but he finished his life wrong. It's bad the way he finished his life. And for the last couple thousand years, guess what? We've been using him as a bad example. What not to do. Look, when I finish my life, I want people to look at me and be as an example of what to do, right? I don't want to be an example of what not to do. Like, you want to know what not to do? Go ahead and look at Brother Bruce's life. That's something you don't want to be. I never want to be like that. And I'm sure you don't either. We want to be Christians that we're not perfect, but we're living for God. We're learning to do well. And God can use us as an example towards other people to say, that's the way you got to live. This guy wasn't perfect. That lady wasn't perfect, but they lived for God and they did something right. Don't be a byword in a proverb, as the Bible says. When you persist in your stubbornness, you lose your vision. That's why, you read your Bible out of discipline and not out of delight. And by the way, it's good to read your Bible out of discipline. Have the discipline to do it, but you got to get to a point where you're actually delighting in reading God's Word. Amen. Where it becomes something you look forward to doing. Okay, where it's like honey, as the Bible says. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary foods. When it becomes so important to your life that it's just like, man, I look forward to reading the Bible. But you know what? When you're stubborn and you're just persisting in your sin, guess what? It's like very hard to read the Word of God. Why is that? Because the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It corrects us. The perfect law of liberty corrects us. And what do? When we go to the perfect law of liberty, it's like a mirror. We look into it, into that glass, and we see all our blemishes. We see the areas in our life that we need to correct. But you know what happens? A lot of people, just stubborn people, they go to the Word of God and they walk away forgetting what manner of man they were. You know, they just read it, they walk away and go back into their sin. And eventually you'll just stop reading it entirely. Okay? No, we need to get to a point where we're not stubborn, where we're getting something out of God's Word and it's helping us to correct our lives. It's helping us to live right. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. When you can no longer shake yourself, you start losing your vision for the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, for if these things, of course it gives a list of different virtues that every Christian ought to have. And it says in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Stubbornness won't move, it won't grow, it won't add to the Christian life. You know, when you're stubborn, you're just looking to maintain. And the only reason you want to maintain is so no one sees that you're backsliding. Okay? So no one looks at you and says, man, I don't know about brother and so, they look like they're like regressing in their Christian life. No, all you're trying to do is just maintain. You know? You're not growing. And what happens? The Bible says you're blind. You don't have a vision for your future. You don't know where you're going. You know, you're not learning more of the Word of God. And look, none of us have arrived when it comes to our knowledge of the Bible, amen? And how do you know you're not stubborn? Because you're constantly learning. You're learning new things. You're learning new concepts. You're learning doctrine. And you're learning how to explain doctrine. You're learning new things. That ought to be the goal of every Christian, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that aspect of growing in grace is because grace teaches us to deny ungodliness as we get the knowledge of the Word of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. We couple both together. But if you're stubborn, guess what? You're not going to learn anything. You'll be sitting in this service wondering what time we're going to get out because you're hungry. Okay? You'll be sitting in the service just wondering, when is this guy going to shut up? Okay? It's time to go home. No, but when you're right with the Lord and you're trying to do right, what happens? You're hungry. You want to get a vision for God's Word. The Bible also says about Samson right there in Judges chapter number 16. That the Bible says, and brought him down to Gaza. So not only did he lose his vision, he lost his direction. He was going down. He's going down to Gaza. You know? And let me say this, when you're a stubborn Christian, you ain't going nowhere but down. I mean, you think of Jonah. You guys remember Jonah? Well, what did he do? He got away from the Lord, and the Bible just kept saying he went down into Joppa. He went down into the, but he just kept going down and down and down and down. You start going in the wrong direction. Okay, and let me say this, as if you don't shake yourself and get it right, you're going down. That's just the bottom line. That's the only direction you're going to go. Go to Psalms 119, 133. Psalms 119 and 133. Our direction is important. It's important to know where you're going in your Christian life. You know, don't just put it on cruise control. You ought to have goals for your life. You ought to want to know where you want to be in the next month, where you want to be in the next 6 months, okay? There ought to be some sort of goal that you have, like, I want to get married in the next couple months. Good. How are you going to get there? You know, I want to be able to read the Bible through in the next couple of months. Good. How are you going to get there? You have to have some direction in your Christian life. Psalms 119, 133, the Bible says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Look, obviously we can see that all this ties into the word of God. You know, order your steps in the word of God. That means make your decisions based off of what God says. But when you start making decisions based off of emotions, then you really got yourself in a mess. When you start making decisions based off of circumstances, then you're in a mess. Why? Because our decisions ought not to be based upon circumstances, because circumstances change. Things change. People change. Our emotions, they fluctuate up and down. But you know what? The word of God never changes. And so when we're going through a tough time or we're struggling with something, we just need to obey what God says. Order our steps in the word of God. Instead of ordering his steps in his word, he was allowing his steps to be ordered by the world. You know, he was making a decision based off of the girl that he was dating, you know. And what happened, man, it ended very bad for Samson. His eyes got plucked out. And yes, he killed more people in his latter end than in all his life. But I bet you that God would have done something way better than that if he would have just stayed right with God, you know. He had his eyes plucked out. He was. They made sport of him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. Why? Because of the bad decisions that he made. And you know, often, like, Satan will mock us if we don't just get right with the Lord. We'll become an illustration for the rest of the world to see. Stubbornness will make you lose your direction. Go to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. By the way, don't be a Christian that just goes through the motions. You know, it's easy to just go through the motions, come to church, just do what you're supposed to. No, there ought to be a sense of direction in your Christian life. Okay? You ought to have goals. You ought to want to do something great for God. And thank God that we're in a church where we're going somewhere. Amen? Where we're doing something for the Lord. There's goals that you can attain to here in this church. We have a big goal. We have big vision to do something great for God. Be a part of it. Get a part of that vision. Don't be like Elijah where it's just, woe is me, woe is me. No, just get up, dust it off, and get a vision for your life. Get some direction. Be a part of the team here. Psalms 37, verse 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What is your direction today? You know, if your direction is constantly in obscurity, it's like, well, I'm just living for money. That's a bad thing to live for. Okay? Money ought to be serving us. We ought not to be serving money. Okay? Money's important, by the way. I mean, we got to pay bills. Amen? I mean, we got to put food on the table, do the things we got to do. But often, when we get our focus on money, guess what? You can't serve God and mammon. You're going to serve one or the other. And when you're serving money and you're focused on money, you're worried about money, you're going to get your direction all screwed up. Okay, because God's direction is not based upon finances. Okay, now we need finances for the ministry, but guess what? We're not basing our decisions, what we preach, what we do, based upon the finances we have. God shall supply all our needs. Okay, and we're serving God. We're going to have mammon serve us so we can do the will of God, but we're not going to serve mammon. Make decisions based off of that. What if Pastor Anderson made decisions based off of money? I don't know if we can start the church in Omani, you know, it costs a lot of money to start a church. Thank God that he didn't base it off of money. He based it off of doing that which is right, because we want to start a church. There's people who need it. And we got to be Christians who don't base your decisions off of circumstances, finances, or even people. You have to base your decisions based off of what the word of God says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yes. Psalms 119. Go back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse number 1, the Bible says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Not perfectly, but they walk in his ways. They're trying to do the best they can to do that which is right. They're pursuing a godly direction. So we see that Samson, when he could no longer shake himself, what did he do? They plucked out his eyes. Very painful. Let me say this. The Bible also says in the New Testament that, you know, what Jesus Christ admonished us to pluck our eyes out if we want to sin. I'm paraphrasing here, you know. But what happened to Samson? Because he sinned, someone else plucked them out for him. And it's one of those things where either we make the decision to pluck out our own eyes or someone else is going to pluck them for us. Either way, it's going to hurt. Okay? Either you make the decision to just get right with God, choose the suffering of being disciplined, to read the Word of God, to be in church, to do that which is inconvenient, or guess what? You're going to suffer the pain of someone else making decisions for you. But not only that, what happened? He lost his direction. He was going down and down and down and down. And then we see also, the Bible says that they bound him with fetters of brass. What happened? He lost his liberty. Okay? You know, he was free, man. I mean, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's free, there's liberty, the Bible says. Well, guess what? The Spirit had departed from him, and what happened? Now he was bound with fetters. He wasn't as free as he used to be. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. You know, it's so ridiculous when Christians, they get tired of church and they get out of church and they go live their worldly lives and they think they're just free. You know, they think, no. What happens is they're losing their liberty is what they're doing. Okay? They've lost their liberty. They've lost God's blessing on their lives. They may think that they have liberty, but it's not liberty. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be what? Holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction in the greatness of his folly. He shall go astray," the Bible says. You know, those who are in the world, Christians who don't want to live for God, and they're out in the world drinking and fornicating and do those things which are displeasing to God, they think they're free, but they're not free. They're enslaved by their own sin. Okay, you know who the free people are? Us. Amen. The ones who are living for the Lord. Yeah, but you're in church all Sunday. Yeah, I want to be in church all Sunday. Amen. Okay? You guys remember El Chapo? El Chapo? You know, you guys know who that is? This is Los Angeles, so you got to know these things, right? You got to be up to date on these things, right? This is Los Angeles talk here. No, I'm just kidding. But El Chapo, you know, he escaped, you know? He did this little tunnel thing and he escaped. And he escaped so he can be what? Free. But you know what? Any person who escapes prison, they're always looking over their shoulder because they're not really free, are they? It's those who abide the law and they obey the law. Those are the real ones who are free. There's those who obey the rules of this land. Those are the ones who are really free. Why? We're not worried that some police officer is going to pull us over. You know, I remember when I was in the world, it's just like, you're always paranoid. You know, it's like, I can feel a police officer from a mile away. It's like, there's a police officer coming around the corner right now, you know, because you're always doing wrong. But when you're not doing wrong, you're living a clean, godly life, there's nothing to worry about. You're free. Why? Because you're abiding by God's law. You're abiding by God's rules. And when you subject yourself to be under God's rules and God's laws, guess what? You're free. It's those who live in disobedience that are not free. It's those who choose to live in disobedience and rebellion and stubbornness who think they're free. Those are the ones who are really enslaved. That's what happened to Samson. He says, I can do whatever. I'm a judge. You know, I can be with Delilah. That's what I want. Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Well, guess what? Now he's enslaved. Now he's in fetters. Now he's in bondage to his sin. He was able to shake himself from previous cords, but not anymore. Stubbornness makes you think you're free when in reality you're putting yourself into bondage. And keep that in mind. Whenever you're tempted to do something that is not right, keep in mind, this is going to bring me into bondage. I'd rather just be free doing God's will, living a clean life, living with a pure heart, doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, rather than the suffering the consequences of doing wrong. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, if you would. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14, for sin, let me just turn over there myself. I have it in my notes, but I'm going to turn there. Romans chapter 6. We'll start at verse number 11. The Bible says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 14. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." You know, those who choose to live a pure and godly life, man, we get God's blessing on our life. You know, see, you ought to have the goal to say, God, help me to continue to have a pure heart, to live a clean life, to live a life that's pleasing to you, so I can continue enjoy my liberty in Christ. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13, let me go back to Judges chapter 16. So what else happened to him? So he lost his vision, he lost his direction, he lost his liberty, but also he lost his purpose. The Bible says, and he did grind in the prison house. You know, and I'm guessing what this is that what they would do is simply, you know, they chain him, they put him on that little grinding thing, and he just go around in circles, just grinding, right? Grinding and grinding, just going around in circles. You know what happens to a lot of Christians when they get out of God's will? They think they're going somewhere, but they're just going around in circles. I mean, you guys remember the children of Israel?
Yeah.
It would have taken so short of a time for them to get to the promised land. What happened? They just went around in circles for 40 years. God just had them go around in circles. What happens? They just lose their purpose. They're losing their direction, but they're just going around, they're spinning their wheels. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. He was born for the purpose of delivering Israel, but now he's just subject to operating a grinding mill inside of a prison. That's sad. You know, I've heard of preachers who like stop preaching and they just become like an insurance salesman. Okay. Now, by the way, if you're an insurance salesman, I'm not against you. But you know what? If you're a preacher, be a preacher. Okay. And I know, look, I work a full-time job and I work for a company. But you know what? I'm not living for that company. I'm living for the will of God. I want to do God's will. This is my focus. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. There's a purpose for our lives. And often if we're not careful, we just live for the most mundane thing. And let me say this, work is part of God's will, amen? We got to work and that's part of God's will. But you know what? The work ought not to consume us so much that it takes us away from doing the work of God, which is here, okay? But look what Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard, the Bible says. It was real hard for Samson, grinding away, eyes plucked out, not living for God, no longer a judge, being mocked by his enemies and the enemies of God. That's a hard thing to do. But what does the Bible say? The way of the transgressor is hard. That ought to motivate us to say, God, help me to stay right with you, because I know if I don't, I'll be a transgressor. And as a transgressor, life's going to be hard. And let me say this. The life of a Christian is also hard, isn't it? There's some hard things in the Christian life. But I'd rather face the hard things of the Christian life than face the hard things of being out of God's will and disobeying God, because these things are a lot harder. Because then you got God chastising you. At least here, in God's will, guess what? It's hard, but you have God. And if God be for us, who could be against us? God is able to strengthen us, to help us, to do right. But over here, guess what? We're going to get whooped by God. We're going to get chastised by God. And then we see, lastly, a loss of progress. The Bible says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know, he could have done something so much bigger, and yet his life was cut short. You know, I don't know how long God is going to give me to live, but I hope my life's not cut short because I was a transgressor, because I did something stupid, okay? And many Christians, their life spiritually sometimes is just cut short because they're just doing their own thing. You know, and by the way, let me say this. God kills people, okay? We were talking about that right before the service. God kills people. He's done it in the Bible. We can go through many scriptures in the Old Testament. We could go to scriptures in the New Testament. God kills people. It happens. Allow that to be instilled into your heart to cause you to fear and tremble and get right with God. Why? Because God kills people. God is a just God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And because of that, he's willing to even take your life if you just want to continue to be stubborn. Because then he can't use you. You know? We're here to be used of God. But if you're just doing your own thing and just involved in iniquity, involved in things that you ought not to be, you know, God's going to be, I'll just take you home. You're not doing anything. I'd rather just take you home. And look, I'm looking forward to going home, but I don't want to go earlier than I'm supposed to. I want God to give me a long life so I can do great works for God, see more people saved, preach more sermons, do more great exploits for the Lord, do something great for God, be an example to the believers, and finish my course well. Amen. Not have God finish my life for me because I wasn't living right for God. Okay, because I was involved in sin or I was being stubborn. Oh, how many Christians? I've known of so many Christians that their life was cut short simply because I believe God killed them. Because they're just being stubborn. They're just out of the will of God, doing their own thing, and they didn't shake themselves when they were supposed to. They didn't just say, you know what? No more. I'm done with this. I'm not going to be involved in this sin. I'm getting back into church. I'm getting back into the Word of God. I'm getting back down on my knees. I'm going to do something for God. I want to humble myself. But instead, what do? They just persisted to just sin. And God says, all right, done. And by the way, sometimes when God kills you, it's like they go out the worst way. You know? Why? I don't necessarily think it's because of the person, I think it's for the sake of being an example to everyone else who sees the death of that Christian to say, wow, that person was judged by God. He got away, she got away, they were judged by God, and I don't want that to happen to me, so I'm just going to go ahead and stay where I'm at. I'm going to keep living for the Lord. May that be an example to us. May Samson be an example to us not to be stubborn Christians. You know, humble yourself, admit that you've done wrong, get right with the Lord, fix those aspects of your Christian life that are displeasing to God, do right, live right, and try to stay right as best as you possibly can. And look, when you're discouraged, shake it off. When Satan comes, shake it off. But you know, when you start delving into sin and doing things that are displeasing to God, yeah, you may be able to shake it off once or twice, but you don't know how many times you have until God just says, all right, you're done. I'm going to let you suffer the consequences of your actions. No, let's just have a humble heart and get right with the Lord when we have a chance to. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.